If you've studied anything about Martin Luther, you might know that he was a man of such magnetic personality that folks who had dinner with him took up the practice of writing down the things that he would say around the dinner table just to keep them in memory. And that became a book known as the Tischreden, quite literally the Table Sayings, a book that we now have as Luther's Table Talk. I suppose the people who first gathered those sayings might have been inspired to do what they did by having read stories like the one we heard this morning about Jesus at a dinner table in the Pharisee's house. Something about the intimacy and the familiarity of that setting. We've all been around a dinner table, and we've all had that experience of being at a dinner table with somebody who was a great conversationalist and who could beguile us with their stories and their wit. There's one pretty obvious theme this morning, one we just can't escape, and that theme is hospitality. We get it in the story of the dinner conversation in the home of the leader of the Pharisees where Jesus is the guest, and we get it in the counsel of the letter to the Hebrews teaching us to remember to show hospitality, not just to the people that we know, but to strangers. But that theme doesn't really help us to get to specifics. It does not help us much with the how or with the whom. Here's what we think hospitality is supposed to be about. We are the host, and it's within our power to invite people around our table, whether it's in our home or here in the church. And we can divide the world into the tiny number of people that we know that we'd like to invite in and the countless host of strangers whom we don't know and will never know and have no idea how to invite in. Of course, we think we're welcoming to strangers on the rare occasions they come through the doors of our churches. We may be somewhat less welcoming of strangers if they come through the door of our house. I'm from the Midwest, where we would be too embarrassed to ask them to leave, and we'd probably apologize for not having coffee ready for them. But, you know, that's not really a helpful teaching about hospitality, because if we are honest about it, we don't see that many strangers. We do once in a while. We're glad when we do, but really the place we're most likely to meet up with the people on the outside, whatever we imagine the outside to be, is not likely to be on the inside. It's not at our own dinner tables, and it's not here in our pews. So I wonder whether we have to think anew about how disciples practice the Christian virtue of hospitality. Really, what may be the single most important Christian virtue, the one by which our claim to be disciples will someday be measured. The business of hospitality is the business of welcoming people, period. We are used to doing that on our own ground. We're used to doing that for 200 years of Christian ascendance in this country. And it made us maybe a little presuming about how hospitality is supposed to work. We are well prepared to welcome you if you come here to be welcomed. But how shall we live out that call to hospitality if they don't come? I would bet that you share with me the particular blessing of having a few friends among your many acquaintances that you really admire for their character and their compassion. They are the friends you feel so much in common with, friends you feel a depth of connection with, and yet who are not part of the faith community, not this one and not any other. To say it differently, they're the people we never see in church, even though we see church in them. They have a well-tuned, functionally engaged moral compass. They are compassionate to others. They show mercy, and they hesitate from judgment, and they care about the less fortunate and the despairing. And yet, for some reason, they want nothing to do with us. When you are in a job like mine, or James's, or Todd's, or Sharon's, you meet quite a few of those folks. They are the people my age, roughly, whose parents grew up in the church and raised them here. They are the people who disappeared from the church directory the day after they were confirmed and never returned. They are the people who show up in my office when one or another of their parents has died, asking the church to offer its services to celebrate that beloved life. And of course, we say yes, because it does not matter to us that that daughter or son has never been part of our community or any other, has never taken on part of the task of keeping these places going. And as I learn about them, I hear about all the things they have grown up to do that are beyond any question acts of discipleship. But I always wonder just how they imagine we will keep going, keep being here, to provide the prayers of the gathered faithful and move the tradition of the past into the hope of the future without them, without their help, without their support, without the strengthening rigor of their doubts. So if we are going to exercise the discipleship of hospitality in our own day and in our own circumstances, we are going to have to do it more effectively and more engagingly with those folks right where they are. We're going to have to show our hospitality not in our own homes and not in our own church, but in the places where we are homeless, but they call home, which is, by the way, exactly what Jesus is doing this morning. I was in touch with one of those friends of mine this week, one of those people I genuinely admire and in whom I see the compassion and urgency for justice that is so much at the center of the church's life, too. I'd written to her to ask her opinion on an author I thought she might be familiar with, and indeed she was. She's fiercely bright, she's immensely capable, and long ago checked out of the church. In the midst of our exchange, she told me that one of her earliest memories of resistance was rebelling against the expectation of memorizing the Lord's Prayer in third grade. She explained that the language of it left her feeling empty, and it didn't offer a sense of guidance on her journey or a sense of a home in which to dwell. I tried to respond by saying that I thought that despite our struggles with these traditions and this language, we need the form, we need the structure of faith and its traditions to somehow keep us between the lines when we encounter the things that are beyond us, the great losses, the great joys, the heavy burdens, the times that we know somehow we need forgiveness in order to be set free from the stuff we are carrying around. And what I got in response to that from my friend completely floored me. Instead of resisting, my friend sent me a direct request. "Teach me why this is relevant today," she wrote. "Teach me how I can see this path as a way to make meaning rather than merely engage in a habit." Now, that is a high wire moment. That is an invitation into someone else's house to show hospitality. That is a stranger inviting you in and giving you a chance to demonstrate the hospitality of Christ and the hospitality Christ expected disciples to show. I can't say that I think my response was worthy of the invitation I received, and I can't say that I did a good job of showing that hospitality. I learned that her understanding of the church and of our tradition is that at its center is an agenda of judgment, and that that's what she finds an insuperable obstacle. Well, we might protest at that. We might say that what's at the heart of the gospel is acceptance and the reconciling love that God offers us. But we need to acknowledge that when you see it from the perspective of a stranger, of the millions of strangers out there, what we say does not often align with what we do. To say it differently, when people show up in our pews for the first time just seeking some kind of connection with the loving heart of God, that is preparation enough for God to welcome them. So it probably should be sufficient for us too. I love having people around my table at home. But my friend taught me an important lesson about where it is I am called to show true hospitality, to demonstrate a true welcome to the doubts and the fears and the questions, not in the places where I am most comfortable, but in the places where I feel homeless, and where the people who hold those fears and struggle with them, where they live. After all, that is what Christ did. Yes, he showed up at church and even taught there from time to time. But you know, search though I might, not once do I find Jesus in the Gospels telling people to go to church. Instead, he is much more focused on giving them reasons to want to go, giving folks reasons for wanting to be within the community of faith. It's not that we alone get it right here, and everyone who stands outside gets it wrong. It's that we need them to be better at this work ourselves. So, we better be prepared to receive their invitations, to sit at their tables, and to show hospitality to all the unknown angels. Amen.